Good morning or good evening to you today, whenever you're watching this letter at the start of our joint service of worship with the congregations of Kintore, Kemne, Acton Midmar, Lerdaf Chapelgiri, and Clooney Money Musk. We're glad to have each of you join us for this service of worship. We're a bit lighter in number for the letter today, but we carry on as normal, checking in with our friends and colleagues across our grouping today. So we'll start with Stella from Lerdaf Chapelgiri. Hi, Stella. How are you today?
Hi, and welcome to everyone from our parish and the wider group. Not a huge amount of news to report. I've just come back from holiday personally, so I haven't really caught up with everyone. But I think our thoughts this week are primarily with our schools and universities starting to go back. I know we've got a couple of families who are faced with children returning to school permanently now, and of course going on to university, and the wider concerns that leaves with young children leaving home. Or they're not so young, but in the parents' eyes, they're always young. So our thoughts and prayers are with everyone in that position this week, and especially as the results came out last week, and hope that every final result on paper was as expected from the teacher's recommendation. So we're looking at our younger people this week, and our thoughts with them.
Very good. Very good. Thanks, Stella. And Sheila. Good day to you. How are you doing, and how's Acton Midmar?
We're doing very well, thanks. And hello to everybody across our wider parish grouping. Just before we came on air, we were all chatting about what the new regulations COVID-wise mean for our congregations. So certainly from the point of view of Acton and Midmar, and for the people who are maybe catching up with this line later, just to say that we're no longer expecting people to phone ahead to reserve or to book a seat for worship. We have enough accommodation in the church now, thankfully, for people just to come along. They'll still be expected either to register their attendance with the QR code at the door, or just simply to give their name and contact number. We're also reintroducing tea and coffee, which will be really welcome, I know, for some time of hospitality at the end of worship. And our seats are going back, but we're going to trial a kind of hybrid arrangement. So some of our seating will be normal distance apart, and we'll also have some seating that's slightly further apart as well for people that would find that more comfortable. So We're looking forward to welcoming some more people back into church. We've also been showing the blether as people have been gathering for worship in Echt Church, as it's been Echt rather than Midmar, to maximise space during the pandemic. And we're going to make a slight tweak to that as well, because there's always a bit of a commotion as people come and get seated. We're going to be showing the blether as part of worship at the beginning of the service, so that people get to know the different faces. And we're looking forward to doing that and to sharing one another's news actually as part of worship as well. And finally, we're planning in the group some joint membership classes and sessions, conversation sessions together. So that we're looking at dates, I think, probably in about October time for that. So if anybody is interested in joining the conversation or would like to find out more, then obviously they're welcome to do that. So that's us. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheila. Appreciate that update. Just a bit of information about what's happening in Kemne as well. Like yourselves in Acton Midmar, Sheila, we are no longer requiring people to book ahead to join us for worship. We also feel we have sufficient space to accommodate. If people want to book ahead, they are still free to do so, and it is helpful so we can get our seating plan arranged, but we are very able to adjust on the spot. And people who feel the leading on Sunday morning to come to worship in Kemne would be very warmly welcomed as well. Continuing on this month, we also have our lunch club, which will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 until 2. And this is aimed at our more vulnerable members of our community in Kemne to continue our pandemic support of them. And we're always in need of volunteers to help with this. So if you'd like to help, please contact me to make your interest known. And every Wednesday from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. downstairs in the Kirk Center, we're also running a bereavement group for those who, especially those who've experienced loss during the pandemic of any sort, or those who have experienced bereavement beforehand and still need more support. Very welcome to come along for those events as well. And those are the main things I think I want to highlight today about what's going on in Kende. But we have gathered together as God's people online for worship. And so we enter in to worship together now. Let us worship God in spirit and truth.
Warm welcome to all who join in this joint service, whether in the morning at 10 or in your own time later. Our ability to experience God's grace and God's love and enjoy being together as a community is not dependent on the weather, nor on geography, nor circumstance. But by the blessing of technology, we can bring the service to you in your own home, where we can come together now to sing God's praise, to listen for a word of hope and instruction, and to go from this time together refreshed and encouraged, to go forth and share God's love in the world. From Psalm 105, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. Let us worship God. Let us pray. Lord God, we come here now, people of many families, remembering different experiences, but we all come as one people, your people. In the moment of deepest concentration, we have known you working beside us. In the moment of full relaxation, we have been caught up into your eternal peace. In the moment of exhilarating delight, we have heard you laughing with us in joy. In the moment of dread and despair, we have heard you weeping with us in our grief. In everything that matters, you have been beside us, not blinding us with the majesty of your glory, but allowing us to glimpse the wonder of your reality. And even when we have not recognized your presence, still it is only your love that has held us in being. What else can we do, eternal God, but open our hearts in song? Accept our praises, for we are filled with wonder at your glory and your love. Amen. And now we sing our first hymn, Spirit of the Living God.
Hear the word of God. Our reading for today comes from the scripture of the New Testament from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
One of the teams leading our summer services at Kintore this year asked the congregation to respond to a couple of teasing questions. One of their questions had me thinking ever since. They asked this: as a Christian, do you feel you live your life differently from those who do not share your faith? As a Christian, do you feel that you live your life differently from those who do not share your faith? Now, I want to say yes, because Jesus is in the business of transformation. So surely, as a Christian, my life must be different to that of someone who has not been transformed by Jesus. But it's an uncomfortable question. To say yes feels boastful. It feels arrogant or holier than thou. Who am I to claim to be different just because I'm a Christian? Isn't this precisely the kind of Christian exceptionalism that makes the church so distasteful to the world? Isn't it true that there are also many good Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and Jews, atheists even? And aren't there, after all, many, many bad Christians? So who are we to think that we are better than everyone else just because we have a Christian faith? And maybe because it's such an uncomfortable question, many of us probably end up saying, no, we are no better than those who don't share our faith. And statistically, at least, we'd be right. In the Christian West, churchgoers do not have a lower divorce rate than the average, nor do they donate to more charities than the average or watch less porn than the average. In fact, statistically, atheists are the ones who commit fewer crimes than the average population. But in this line of thinking, we've just made a huge leap of logic, which is not necessarily accurate. Did you spot the leap of logic that we made in what I've just said? The original question that the group asked the congregation was, do you live your life differently to others? But in what I've just said to you, and the way I've thought through it, I've interpreted the question as, are we better than others? So it was a shift from, are we different to others, to, are we better than others? Now, maybe you think I'm just splitting hairs. I mean, isn't the latter implied in the original question? Well, it depends very much on how you're approaching the question, where you're coming from when you ask it. Earlier this year, I preached a series of sermons which made me conscious of just how one can approach biblical texts, either from above or from below. Theology from above means thinking about things from a position of power or wealth or privilege, as indeed the church in the West has been able to do for over 1,000 years. Theology from below means doing so from the margins, from among the poor and the powerless. Theology from above is the wealthy justifying their wealth by saying, well, God, of course, wants his people to prosper. It's the church exercising its state-sponsored power as a moral and cultural watchdog for society. It's missionaries setting out to enlighten foreign savages with both the light of the gospel and the light of Western culture. Theology from Below is different. Theology from Below is the music of the Negro spirituals. It's the voice of liberation theologies crying out, when will we be free? And it's worth noting that the whole of the New Testament and most of the Old Testament was all written from below by people wandering lost in the desert, or people languishing for years, for generations in exile, or people hiding in upper rooms for fear of the Romans. Now, the New Testament speaks often about the need for us to live as an alternative community within the dominant culture of our day. Jesus, for example, says we are living in the world, but we are not of the world, in John chapter 17. Paul tells us not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In fact, even Jesus' initial preaching for people to repent, if it's correctly interpreted, was not so much a command to say sorry for what we've done wrong, but it was a call for us to change our ways of thinking, the ways of thinking that we'd absorbed from the world around us. And this passage from Ephesians chapter 5 is another one in which Paul instructs his readers to, in this case, he uses the terms live as wise rather than as unwise. Now, clearly the meaning of all of this is that as followers of Jesus or as Christians, we should be different from the mainstream of society. And this is doing theology from the bottom or from the margins. And it assumes that there are aspects of the mainstream of society that are faulty, or in the language of Paul in this passage, unwise, and from which we should therefore deviate. Now note carefully what I'm saying here. This is not the same as saying that your mate Dave, who happens to not come to church, is unwise. Nor is it to say that there is no one outside the church who is wise. And nor is it to say that everyone inside the church has magically become wise. It is simply to say that there are specific ways in which Christians should live that are different from that which is acceptable in wider society. Of course, the million-dollar question is, how should Christians be different from the mainstream of society in our day and age? Rather than try to answer this question fully or definitively, which would require another sermon or maybe a series of sermons, for now, I simply want to make the point that this is the conversation we should be having. We should be talking more about this question. How are we to live as wise people in these particular evil days? How should Christians be different to the mainstream? Not to say that we're in charge of the culture or that we're the ones in power, but what is there that we see in society, in the mainstream, that we should be an alternative to? And the passage before us, Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 20, it contains several possible answers, and I mention them only as ways to help you start thinking about the process. These are not the answers. There are many passages in the Bible that talk about ways in which Christians might live differently to the world. But let's just have a look at the ones that are here quickly. Firstly, Paul talks about us being filled with the Spirit rather than being filled with wine. Maybe you want to think about what that might mean in practical terms. Secondly, he talks about us singing psalms and hymns. Our church choir at Kintore sings angelically. That is true. But I also know some beautiful, beautiful followers of Jesus who can't sing for toffee. So make of that what you will. But there's a third thing that Paul says, which is interesting. He mentions giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is an interesting answer, because I don't think gratitude is really part of the mainstream culture today. On the one hand, we are taught to strive for self-sufficiency so that we have no one but ourselves to thank for all that we have. On the other hand, there is so much attention paid to what we don't yet have that we're not really encouraged to ever reflect on what we do have and to give thanks for it. So this concept of thanksgiving is different, is something at odds with the rest of society. Believing in a God gives us someone to thank. We aren't just grateful in a general sense. We know from whence the grace has come to us. And practicing gratitude changes us, changes the way we see others, changes the way we see possessions, even perhaps changes the way we see ourselves. Again, please note, I'm not saying that your mate Dave is ungrateful just because he doesn't happen to come to church. And I'm not saying that there are no Muslims or atheists who practice gratitude. And I'm not saying that all churchgoers are filled with gratitude. I'm simply saying that by living life in joyful thankfulness to God, by making that a habit, by making that a practice by which we live, we will be living differently to the mainstream culture of our day. That's one way. For now, I'm going to leave you to think about the rest. How else is God calling you to live differently, to live as wise and not as unwise in these evil days? Amen.
Shall we join our hearts and our minds once again in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, give us strength to stand against all that is evil. Keep us firm in the times of trial and temptation. Make us resolute in obeying your will and in seeking your kingdom. Give us power to stay true to you and proclaim your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and always. Loving God, throughout the ages, you have restored and rescued your people. We come to you for refreshment and renewal after a time of trial and testing. Speak peace to us, we pray. We pray for all who are seeking to know their vocation and all who are trying to sort out their priorities. We pray for your church as it seeks to fulfill its calling to be your body on earth. Lord, where it is in trouble, we ask you to heal it. Where it is fit and well, we ask you to bless it in its work and its witness. We ask for your blessing of your church around the world and the church here in Scotland and the Church of Scotland. Continue to bless our moderator and his work and witness. Bless the leaders of the councils and committees and the central staff who do so much under so much pressure. Lord, our church is in for a time of change and challenge, and we ask you to raise visions of what we should and could be. Encourage and strengthen us as we go through it. Be with our sisters and brothers as we journey together in this parish grouping, that we may together be light in times of a darkening world. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for all who have positions of authority, that they do not misuse their powers. We pray for leaders of nations and for all those whose decisions affect the life of many. We pray today for the people of Afghanistan and all peoples who suffer because of civil or religious unrest. Speak peace, we pray. We pray for those affected by natural disaster, for peoples caught up in raging forest fires, especially our images are of Greece at this time, for those who are suffering from drought, for crops failing and animals dying. And we remember all who are suffering from hunger or poverty or homelessness, those around the world and those nearer to home. We ask you to bless those who seek to help through their work, and we ask you to bless the aid agencies of the world. We pray for those we love and care for, and ask that you will be with them. and we give thanks for those who have provided for us and protected us over the years, and for those who have ministered to us and inspired or encouraged us. We pray that in turn we may be sensitive to your call and ready to do your will. For we ask you to bless and protect all those whom we hold dear. For this and all our prayers we bring to you in Jesus' name, and together using whatever version we are comfortable with, we say the words of Jesus' prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever. Amen.
Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold fast to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord your God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore. Amen.